You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, the Juno probe entered Jupiter's orbit last night, an accomplishment the mission's principal investigator says is the hardest thing NASA has ever done. We'll find out what we can learn coming up. First, our next guest believes in fashion determinism, the idea that you can dress for the life you want to live even before you're actually that super cool person living that super cool life. And what's more, she says our clothes reveal more than we ever dreamed about who we are, how much money we make, and what we think about ourselves. Cintra Wilson is a former New York Times fashion writer. She explored the United States through its fashion choices and wrote about it in a new book called Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style. Cintra, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. What are you wearing?
Hey, I was going to ask you that. I'm wearing Midwestern garb. I guess, yeah, a t-shirt, black slacks, sandals. I don't know. What do you make of that?
That sounds pretty good. It sounds better than what I'm wearing at the moment.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a very old t-shirt that says Quixote 51, as if Don Quixote was on a sports team, and some terrible shorts because I'm in a very hot house in Rhode Island. But that says absolutely nothing about me.
Well, I want to ask you about a line for your book that really caught my eye. You wrote that when used consciously, fashion is almost magic in its ability to reveal you to yourself and empower you. And that's a cool way to think about clothes, but what do you mean when you say fashion can reveal you to yourself?
Well, I think that the more permission that people give themselves to actually explore areas of fashion that they might be, that they're attracted to, but maybe too timid to indulge. I think that the more that you indulge yourself in these areas of excitement and interest, the more it reveals about your deep inner person. And I think it's very good exercise for you in terms of knowing who you are to actually indulge these fashion choices.
Why is it good for us?
Well, I think that people tend to become very locked down and very narrow in their fashion choices, particularly as they get older. But fashionistas are really not about what labels you wear or, you know, how much money you spend. It's really more about people who have a very articulated and very personal sense of style that they allow themselves to explore.
Well, it's interesting because you say it's okay to wear all this stuff on the outside, but you also say that even if we're trying not to reveal who we are, that you can read things about us based on what we're wearing and reveal quite a lot. It says that you can just tell what kind of job we have, maybe our self-esteem. Why can you read so much based on what people are wearing?
Well, I think everybody does in a microsecond, really. I mean, first impressions are very important, and I think that we do take in a remarkable amount of information at first glance from people. I mean, we look at their shoes and we look at their pants, and we know, we think we know a lot about people based on their presentation, because the way you get dressed in the morning is really kind of your fashion statement for the day, and your statement can involve things that you deliberately choose or that are sort of default statements about who you've become. And it can be either, you can either grow yourself or limit yourself in this regard. And I think that there's sort of a gentleman's agreement to not notice as much as we do about each other's fashion. It's kind of impolite to notice, but I think it's something that we all evaluate every day.
And you went around the country kind of taking stock of the different way people dress, maybe trying to read the tea leaves about what it said about who they were. And one of the places you went, you didn't come to Wisconsin, but you did go to the Iowa State Fair. And to be fair, the Iowa State Fair is probably more like the Midwest on steroids. But what did you see there when it came to fashion?
Well, I found myself very delighted in a lot of ways by different regional fashions. And Iowa was just one place where I went where it kind of reaffirmed a idea that I had that the more organically people dressed according to their really authentic selves. Like in Iowa, there was a lot of people who were agricultural workers who dressed in really sort of kind of wonderful, very casual cowboy type garb, or there were old couples who you could tell it had sort of a sort of similar fashion code in their household for, you know, 50 plus years. I mean, sort of the more people resemble themselves in terms of their choices of fashion, the better they look, generally speaking. I mean, whether it's a 4-H T-shirt and, you know, old jeans and cowboy boots, or if it's, you know, some kind of elaborate drag queen style, I think the more closely people can see something organically true about the wearer, the more delightful their fashion is to the eye.
Well, when I think about the Midwest, I tend to think of people who kind of blend in a lot of the time. I'm sure there's exceptions. There's always exceptions of very fashionable people here in Wisconsin, of two, of course. But a lot of Midwesterners I think of as wanting to blend in. And I remember this line about an East Coast writer commenting on Target shopping Midwesterners. So, I mean, if everyone dresses at Target, everyone shops at Target, everyone is going to kind of look the same. So what are we saying when our fashion choices make us sort of aggressively neutral?
Well, I think that there are, you know, I think that in the Midwest, people kind of are a lot like Canada, and that they're sort of fancy averse, or, you know, they don't want to look too flashy or too overbearingly eccentric in some way. But I actually think that style, personal style, does not require you to shop somewhere other than Target. I mean, you can put together something totally magnificent if you have a Salvation Army and a Target in your neighborhood that will express who you are. And it's really about let yourself fly your own freak flag a little higher is sort of the message that I like to say in my book.
So how do we do that?
Well, I mean, give yourself a little bit more permission. I mean, my fashion evolution always came through exciting footwear. I think a lot of people have felt this way, where when I was growing up and getting older and kind of exploring new personalities, it always started with boots. I would save lots of money and I would have certain boots in mind and save up for them. They would always be boots that were a lot cooler than I was. And then by wearing them, I would try to become that person.
We're talking to Cintra Wilson right now, author, performer, and former New York Times fashion critic. Her new book is called Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style. And, you know, speaking of boots, you have a picture in the book of Condoleezza Rice wearing some super spiky heeled knee-high boots. What do you see in that particular fashion choice? This is a DC power player.
Well, that was a really remarkable fashion moment, I think, for American politics. I mean, Condoleezza Rice was, you know, our first very sort of flaring Secretary of State. And she, I thought, was kind of giving us a very sadomasochistic message with these extremely pointy, I believe they were Jimmy Choo, knee-high stiletto boots. And she was wearing it with kind of a very long black Nehru jacket, and she was receiving some kind of award, but it was definitely a very powerful sort of proto-fascist fashion message. She looked like a really awesome dominatrix, which I think was probably an extension of their general philosophy of American exceptionalism, but it looked great.
I mean, do you think she actually intentionally, or her stylist, I'm assuming she might have a stylist, do you think she actually intended any of the overlays you just said, or did she just think, oh, this looks pretty good, I'm going to wear it?
Well, there was enough commentary in the sort of blogosphere afterward. I mean, I think that Condi was probably very savvy about her fashion choices. She is a very, very intelligent woman, and I think that she was just having fun, pretty much, with her fashion choices and her, you know, her war diva status.
And what about Michelle Obama? You write about her in your book, too, and she's seen as a big fashion icon these days. What are her choices say to you about who she is?
I think that Michelle Obama is a brilliant and beautiful fashion icon. I write in my book about her inaugural dress, which was a really incredible dress by Narciso Rodriguez, who's one of my favorite designers. And it was a very strange and very controversial dress that not everybody liked, but it kind of looked like a French maid costume that was covered with blood. And I thought that was a really fascinating potential semiotic statement for a new first lady, to wit, we are coming in to clean up your bloody mess. And I thought it was brilliant. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I believe that she is brilliant enough to have some idea of what she was wearing.
Cintra, we leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
That was Cintra Wilson, author, performer, and former New York Times fashion critic. The title of her new book is Fear and Clothing, Unbuckling American Style. Coming up, we'll talk to an editor at Discover Magazine about the Juno mission to Jupiter. I'm Veronica Rickert, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.